Chapter 1. The Letter. It's 7 a.m. in Harlem, and the letter is waiting near the bottom of the mailman's sack. You're in bed asleep, and outside is the darkness, the cold, a shroud of ice covering the city from river to river. You don't know that this is the morning on which your life will change. Through the window is the uncoiled arm of the Milky Way, and the moon, the colour of narcissus. Duct tape has stopped the snow from falling on your head, and the airline blankets form a barrier against the frozen air. The new day is coming, but it's not quite here yet. Just a clear navigator's sky and a red tongue of light in the east, beyond the Triborough Bridge and Long Island, and the Atlantic Ocean. In Central Park, the weather station reports a temperature of -5, and the news says the subways and the buses are running slow. Because of the cold and the delays, the mail carrier arrives late at the Manhattanville post office in Harlem. He's called Freddy, a nice guy, but even on the best of days not the fastest person in the world. He was born in Jamaica, and though he's lived in New York since he was a child, he has never gotten used to the winter. He has a coffee, toasts a bagel, wraps himself in 4 layers of clothing, and finally starts doing his rounds just before 7:30 a.m. He appears outside your building at 8:15 and shakes his head. Freddy always shakes his head when he comes to your address. It's the worst building on his route, near the corner of 125th Street and Broadway. Most of the apartments have been boarded up, and there are holes in the roof. The fire escape is rusted and hangs on the front of the place like an iron skeleton. The heating never works, and when Freddy goes inside, he keeps on his thick USPS coat and wool hat. He unloads his bag, stamps the snow off his boots, and whistles a Britney Spears song while he opens the big mailbox frame with his master key. Freddy's late, but he's not worried. This building never takes him long. Since the pipes burst and flooded the fourth floor, most of the tenants moved out. A few did stay, because you couldn't get rent this cheap anywhere else in the whole of New York City. Freddy throws in the mail, and then pauses when he sees the letter with the English stamp that's addressed to Anna O'Neill. He's glad that he came back from vacation today, because slow as he is, at least he knows the route, and the replacement mailman wouldn't have understood that this is your mother's maiden name. He might not have delivered the letter at all, and instead returned it with a not-at-this-address label. But you and Freddy are pals, and occasionally the pair of you take turns losing chess games to Thaddeus at the library. In a homemade card, your mother gave Freddy a Christmas gift of $10, which he knows was a lot of money to her. Usually he only puts bills in your mail slot, but not today. Today it's definitely something different. He holds up this letter for Miss Anna O'Neill. A watermark says, McRae and Wright, Solicitors at Law. He reads a couple of lines through the envelope. Looks like it's good news for a change, Freddy mutters to himself. He puts the letter in your box, locks the big metal mail frame, and waits there for a minute or two. Sometimes you come down early to check the mail. Apart from the landlord's bad seed, you're the only kid left in the building. Freddy looks at his watch. He can't wait any more, and so he walks back out onto 125th Street, where the sun is over the East River and the city is well on its way to work. It's a good thing he didn't wait. You won't be down this morning to get the letters at all, because last night you stayed up late trying to fix the hole in the ceiling of your bedroom. It was a new hole, and you didn't tell your mother about it because it would only have worried her. You noticed it when snowflakes started coming in. You repaired it easily with duct tape, but you know that won't last forever. Anyway, you're still in bed when your mother goes down to the ground floor just before 9 o'clock in her heels and black business suit. She opens the mailbox with her key and looks inside. She's expecting a check from your father. He promised last week he would send it the day after Christmas, but it still hasn't come. In her heart, she knows it's never going to come.